Diary, July to September, 1885. July 7th to September 24th, 1885. The Journey to Europe. Tuesday, July 7th, 1885. Left Healdsburg in company with Willie for Oakland. The preparation and getting off were very wearisome. I had no one who had been with me heretofore to help me. I had to keep my mind on a strain continually to think of the necessary things for my journey across the plains. July 11th, 1885. Oakland, California. I suffered with great weakness. My head was tired, and I was in great perplexity in regard to my duty. It looks, from appearance, preposterous to undertake so long a journey in my condition of health. I had not courage, and but little faith that the Lord required this of me, to cross the plains in the heat of summer and endure all the taxation and weariness necessary to do this. My head is tired all the time. I was invited to speak. Should I venture in my weakness? I decided to test the matter, to throw my helpless soul upon God, and thus I was taken in a carriage to the church. The Lord helped me. My mind was clear, and the Spirit of the Lord rested upon me and upon the congregation. His grace given me in my time of need was just what I needed. I was no longer uncertain. I would venture to go with the party across the plains. July 12th, 1885. Oakland. I am still weak, but more hopeful. There are several sewing below, and I cannot endure the conversation. I keep in my room most of the time. Called on Sister Stevens. Had a pleasant visit with her. We have business to attend to, deeds to sign, and letters that must be written. July 13th, 1885. En route east. We left Oakland. There were 12 in our party. We were well accommodated. About 12 more occupied one end of the car until we reached Mojave. Then we changed cars, Wednesday noon. There were only 3 men in our car besides our party. The heat was very great, but we had no dust. We passed over heavy sand. We passed over a very large body of sand, which was like a lake, almost as white as snow. July 14th, 1885. We have very good accommodations. The weather is excessively hot, thermometer 125 in the shade. I endure the heat much better than I had any reason to expect I could. I tell our party the very best way to endure the heat is not to think about it or talk about it. As we came to Fresno, Brother Church and son came on the cars, bringing a box of peaches, a large box of grapes, and a very large watermelon. July 15th, 1885. As the rough class are no longer in our car, we commenced religious services, singing, and prayer. There was one of the workers on the train that looked as though he did not know whether to laugh or to cry. He afterward told Brother Lunt it was the first prayer he had heard for 5 years. His father and mother were praying people. He left home and had been in rough company. But the prayer he had listened to touched his heart, and he felt a desire to be better than he was then. July 16th, 1885. The north wind is blowing, and it seems like a blast from a burning furnace. We have 2 sick ones in our party, and it appears doubtful whether one of them, Sister Byron, will reach her home. She is very feeble. She must first reach Kansas City, then go to Omaha. There her husband meets her and takes her home to die. One girl, Grace Minninger, is an invalid going to Battle Creek to our sanitarium for treatment. She is in a fair way to break down. She is talking in a loud voice and keeping herself in an excitement without any necessity of it. She felt that she must have tea and coffee to keep her up. She drank a cup of strong coffee and its influence on her was such that she was afraid she should die. She came to me to prescribe for her. I told her Sarah McKenterfer would give her treatment. We took flannel we had, and she received thorough treatment, fomentations. She was relieved at once. It acted, she said, like a charm. If that was the way Dr. Kellogg treated the sick, she should get well. She knew she should. I told her there must be no more tea drinking or coffee drinking while on the train. She said she would not taste it. We had services in the morning and at the commencement of the Sabbath. I spoke to our people in regard to keeping the Sabbath on the cars. I told them there should be every effort made, yes, extra efforts on our part, to keep our minds reflecting upon proper subjects and our words select. There should be a determined purpose to honor the God of the Sabbath by keeping it holy. We did not want to lay aside our religion because we were on the cars. We did not want to backslide on the train, but to be in that spirit of devotion, that we could keep our lips from uttering perverse things, and that we should be pure and holy, not light and jovial and trifling, but have our words seasoned with grace. The conductor seated himself in our little circle and remained until I had ceased speaking. July 18, 1885. Today is the Holy Sabbath. We feel the peace of God in our hearts. We had services in the car. After Brother Lunt prayed, and after having a singing exercise, I spoke to our people for about 30 minutes, with freedom. I am feeling the peace of Christ. July 19, 1885. We reached Kansas City at 5:30. There stood a man at the car ready to conduct us to the chair car. Every attention was given to us. Our baggage was quickly transferred, and we were pleasantly located. July 20, 1885. I could not sleep much during the night, for my pain was great in my hip. I was thankful for the light of day. We arrived at Chicago. Took cars at once for Battle Creek, Michigan. Arrived at Battle Creek about 8:30 p.m. Met Brother Sawyer, who urged us to go to sanitarium. Edson was waiting for us, and we took lunch at his house. W.C. White did not come with us on this last stage of the journey. He had business to transact in Chicago. The weather was excessively hot, not favorable for sleeping. July 21, 1885. Battle Creek. It is oppressively warm. I am unable to do anything but rest. Rode out to the cemetery, but it was too warm to enjoy even this. Take treatment at the sanitarium. It does one good. I visited the office and looked over my books. Took such as I wanted. July 22, 1885. Battle Creek. The weather is some cooler because of showers. We rode out with our good carriage. July 23, 1885. Battle Creek. It is a very pleasant day, yet warm. We rode out, Sister Hall, Ella, and I, to Brother Richard Godsmark's. They were glad to see us. We were in season to take dinner with them. We enjoyed our visit very much, but were obliged to leave soon after dinner, about 4 o'clock. We had an opportunity to visit with Sister Hall. July 24, 1885. Battle Creek. The heat is oppressive, but my time is fully occupied in writing important matter. Brethren Clemens and Jones visited me to consult in reference to matters of the church and George Lay. I spent some time in conversation with them. After they had left, I wrote them several pages in reference to these matters. The question was being agitated about a vote passed years ago in reference to George Lay and certain ones influenced by him, that they should either cease the warfare and come in harmony with the church, or be no longer numbered with the church. There were feelings unjustifiable by some of the church in reference to George Lay, and confessions were being made to him by those who had erred, and some thought they should go further than this. The decision could not be taken back. God was at work for the man, but they would not be helped and have stood aloof from the church ever since. Elder Haskell and Brother Fargo were the ministers at work at the time to set things in order. July 25, 1885. Battle Creek. Today is the Holy Sabbath. I feel depressed with the heat, but decide to speak to the people assembled in the tabernacle. The auditorium is crowded, the galleries are full. I spoke with much freedom from the words, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you," etc. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Many of the patients from the sanitarium were present. I spoke 1.5 hours. In the afternoon, we had a good representation at our social meeting. I spoke again about 40 minutes. Many excellent testimonies were born. July 26, 1885. Battle Creek. Sunday, we have another warm day. I am solicited to speak on the public square upon temperance, but I have an appointment in the evening at 6:30 and declined speaking twice in my condition of weariness. I found about 400 people assembled. I spoke to them 1 hour from "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," etc. Matthew 6, verse 33. I had special liberty, and they listened with earnest interest. July 27, 1885. Battle Creek. The oppressive heat continues. I am engaged in writing matter to be read to the faculty at sanitarium. Made some purchases downtown. Battle Creek. We had a very busy day writing and preparing for our trip to Europe. Brother Fargo came to Battle Creek. Came to see us, and we had a profitable interview in regard to various matters. The matter of Peter Howe came up, his dishonest course with Edson, and his not making any effort to set things right. He robbed him, in connection with another young man, of $700, and yet has had no disposition to set this matter right. The decision was to have these matters talked over with parties and have a settlement, if possible. Peter begged off and said he would prefer to talk with Edson alone and settle it between them. Edson consented to do this. Tuesday evening had a meeting at the sanitarium and read to the faculty 30 pages relating to the physicians and workers there. This meeting continued late. Slept with Sister Hall in one of the most beautiful rooms in the new apartment. There is much to be thought of. Had a long talk with Sister Maxon in relation to the Institute. We took dinner at the sanitarium. The table was abundantly supplied with good food, wholesomely prepared. Anyone who could not relish such food must have a depraved appetite indeed. We took the cars at 2:30 for the East. We had some relief from the oppressive heat after we left Battle Creek. On the train, I wrote back letters to Henry in regard to matters at the sanitarium. July 30, 1885. We slept well during the night. The motion of the cars was very grateful, for it created a circulation of air. We had abundance of room, as the sleeper was not crowded. At Syracuse, the workers in the mission there came on board the cars and confidently stated that Sister White would be at the camp meeting at Syracuse, that they had been canvassing for Volume 4 and many books had been sold, and they were now anxious to see the one who wrote the book. I told them I was on my way to Europe. They could not believe it. They had their hearts set upon the matter and thought I must be there. We bade them farewell. Their faith was a little fainter in regard to the matter. I would gladly attend their camp meeting, but the conference has said I must go to Europe. We stopped over at Rome a few hours and then counseled with Elder Wilbur Whitney and wife, Elder Brown, and Elder Miles, who is the principal of the school there. We hope this interview will prove a blessing. July 31, 1885. Worcester, Massachusetts. Friday, we arrived at Worcester very weary. We could not obtain berths in sleeper. Changed cars at Utica and Albany. It was a hard night for us all. We were to tarry at the Mission House. This is a very noisy place, with carriages passing continually. The heavy wagons over the stone pavements make my head ache. Here I met Brother and Sister Canright and Brother and Sister Weber, who are holding tent meetings here. They meet with the fiercest opposition from the First Day Adventists. They have quite a number of workers here who go from house to house giving Bible readings, canvassing, etc. I spoke to a tent well filled in the evening upon Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. The Lord gave me strength and His grace to speak to the people. One who had been an infidel was all broken down and said he would keep the Sabbath. We had a shower with thunder and lightning, but it cleared away about the time of meeting, and there was a congregation of interested hearers. Many collected about the tent outside, nearly as many as were in the tent. August 1, 1885. Worcester, Massachusetts. Spoke to the people collected in the tent from Isaiah 58. The Lord gave me liberty and power before the people. I rose early in the morning and commenced writing. Wrote 22 pages, discourses for the review. In the evening, we had a very severe thunderstorm. The sharp lightning and thunder were terrific, but I am never alarmed and nervous as I used to be. I feel that God holds the thunder in His hand. He bounds the lightning, controlling it that we need not fear. We are under His divine eye, and He will protect those who trust in Him. August 2, 1885. Worcester, Massachusetts. Arise at 4 o'clock and commence my writing. Willie leaves us to go to South Lancaster at 7 o'clock. I remain to speak this evening. Visited Brother Smith. Rested and took dinner with them. Elder Canright and wife joined us at the dinner table. I had quite a long talk with Elder Canright upon the best manner of laboring. It is cloudy. We fear there will be but a few out tonight. A hack came for us to take us to the meeting. The owner of the carriage and horses stated he had heard me speak on the fairground and Friday night here. He seemed very attentive and kind. The tent was packed full, and the Lord gave me His Holy Spirit and power to address the people from. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The people listened as for their lives. They were as quiet as in a meeting house. August 3, 1885. South Lancaster, Massachusetts. I could not sleep last night. I felt the burden for the people. I am weary this morning because of poor rest. We go to South Lancaster today to see the church there and to rest. The distance from Worcester to Lancaster is 17 miles. We arrived at South Lancaster at 12 o'clock. Dinner was acceptable, for we were hungry. Made our home at Sister Harris's. August 4, 1885. South Lancaster, Massachusetts. Last night it rained hard all night. Cleared away in the morning, and we had a very pleasant day. We rode to Clinton and purchased some things. After dinner, we rode out several miles in the country. We enjoyed the ride much. I desired much to write, but could not because of great weariness. I am invited to go out to dinner, but refuse because I cannot make these changes and visit without feeling the effects in weariness. I am too much worn to visit now. August 5th, 1885, South Lancaster. It is a beautiful day. I devoted all the forenoon to writing, prepared an article for the paper, and wrote several letters. In the afternoon, we rode out in the country, and we tarried in the woods and picked blueberries. This was a diversion from my usual work. We all felt pleasure in this exercise. It was a change, and the quiet of the grand old woods was restful. Brother Henry came at night from Battle Creek to see me in regard to some matters at the sanitarium. He arrived about 7 o'clock. We conversed until 11 upon important matters connected with our physicians and medical students. August 6, 1885. South Lancaster. We have another beautiful day. I am thankful to my Heavenly Father for the privilege of quiet and rest. I have written many pages today to send back to Battle Creek. Oh, that these words penned for the benefit of the medical students may have a good effect, for a reformation is essential. The sanitarium is one of God's instrumentalities and will do much toward bringing those in darkness to the light if a right influence controls. The standard must be kept up. The moral tone of the institution must not become enfeebled. The religious interest should be healthful and will become a power for God if those who profess the truth will, by precept and example, represent the divine teacher. We rode out in the afternoon to the woods, tied the horse, and while Mary prepared an article for the paper, Sister Harris, Sister Sarah, Ella, and I picked blueberries. We had a treat in this. We enjoyed it much. The scenery on the way was delightful. The sisters are copying the article for the sanitarium. It makes about 50 pages. August 7th, 1885. South Lancaster. We have another beautiful day. All the forenoon I devote the writing. I felt burdened to say some things to the ministers and to the workers. Elder Robinson accompanied me. We collected the workers together, and I read an article that I had written in regard to the sacred work entrusted to them to let their light shine forth to the world in good works. Their works will have an influence that will lead others to glorify God. When young men and women are engaged in labor together, there is constant danger of their becoming too familiar and showing a disposition to give and receive attention that is not strictly proper. The high and holy standard is lowered. The sacredness of the work is brought on a level with common things. Impure thoughts and earthliness are mingled with sacred things. We could spend only about 2 hours and then return to Lancaster. There was much to be done. I was very weary, but we went over the buildings, the boarding house, and school buildings. I was pleased with the arrangement of the buildings and think Brother Ramsey may do a good work in educating our youth. August 7, 1885. Arise in the morning quite tired, but wrote several letters before breakfast. Left for Boston about 10 a.m. We rode a long distance to the mission. Met here Sister Stein and Sister Annie Rasmussen, and Brother Bordeaux's 2 sons, who are to accompany us. I indulged in a bath. Purchased some things in the city and wrote 17 pages. 3 pages to Edson White, 2 to Dr. Kellogg to accompany an article to be read to the medical students and physicians. 55 pages. Wrote 5 pages to Elder Rice in California. 8 pages in reference to the Garmeyer heresy. 2 pages to Elder Smith. We wish to go on board the steamer Friday afternoon to get all the labor done before the Sabbath. We accomplished this nearly. We found it very close in our steamer. The rooms are large and commodious. We have 2 berths and a large sofa, 2 marble wash basins, and bureau of 2 drawers. A small bureau of 2 drawers. We are oppressed with heat in the stateroom while the boat is at anchor. There is not much air. We have a season of prayer in our stateroom. All take part. The Lord seems very near, and I feel peaceful and restful. Sabbath, August 8, 1885. On board Cephalonia. I awoke with a sense of heat and oppression. I wished to write several letters. Took sponge bath and felt somewhat refreshed. Wrote a letter to Sister Huntley of 2 pages. Wrote 5 pages to Elder Robinson and 2 pages to Professor Ramsey, 1 page to South Lancaster Church. This is all I can do for my American brethren ere we go upon the broad waters. Brethren Edward Stillman and Elder Robinson came on board Sabbath morning to say goodbye. We had several letters for them to take away with them. We are having a very pleasant day. I feel my heart drawn out in prayer to God for a fitness for the great work before me. I am of good courage, and should accident or harm or death come to me here, I have made my peace with God. All is well. I am not worthy of the precious blessings promised to the faithful, but I am thankful because by faith I can call God my Father, and I am not afraid to commit the keeping of my soul to God as unto a faithful Creator. I want, during this 10 days passage, to be brought more closely to Jesus. My heart is drawn out for His grace and His salvation. Sunday, August 9th, 1885. It is a beautiful morning. We have no seasickness as yet. Last evening we enjoyed a beautiful sunset. The broad ocean was all that we could see surrounding us, and the sun went out of sight in the broad waters. We went into the dining room to attend services. Under the Episcopalian services, prayers were read, and chapters in the Old and New Testaments that were very appropriate for the occasion. The hymns sung were excellent in sentiment. The chapter read first was in Jeremiah. The second was in the New Testament in regard to the shipwreck of Paul. I wrote 8 pages and prepared a reported article for the press. We were on deck most of the time. August 11th, 1885. The sea is boisterous. The waves roll, and the white caps are seen upon the turbulent waters as far as the eye can extend. The waves rise high in green and blue and white spray, mingle, and dash with force against the porthole. If the porthole were open, buckets full of water would dash in upon us. We do not have all the air that is desirable because the porthole must be closed, but arrangements are made for ventilation from the top, which leaves us not destitute of air. The boat rocks fearfully, and every timber seems to be strained and shocked. There are but few upon deck. The deck is wet. Chairs are tied with ropes. Ropes are stretched from point to point that those who walk on deck may take hold of the ropes to keep from falling. There is indeed a heavy roll. I cannot lie on the sofa. Trunks are rolling about in the staterooms. Satchels are dancing hither and thither, and everything that is not secured by ropes is dancing about. I am glad to climb up into my berth and lie still. Can rest but little. I have precious seasons of silent prayer. The Lord Jesus seems very near to me. I am so thankful that I can trust in my Savior at all times. August 12th, 1885. We all rested well last night. None were seasick. I was glad to see the light of day. Took a moderate breakfast, and W.C. White, Mary, Ella, and I went on deck. The water is much calmer. It is foggy, and the fog whistle is bellowing out its warning signal that vibrates through every nerve of the body. I enjoy the retirement of my birth. Wrote 13 pages in regard to the duty of church members working to be a blessing to others. August 13, 1885. I am feeling very much exhausted this morning. My head is giddy. I manage to go to the table. Can eat but little, scarcely enough to sustain strength. Twice I went on deck, but am glad to get down to my stateroom and lie in my berth. I wrote about 7 pages in my berth. August 14, 1885. This morning is more pleasant. The fog has disappeared. The water is not quite as rough as it was. My head is better, stronger. I am grateful to God that He has preserved us through another night. 6 o'clock p.m. I have been on deck all day. The boat went through banks of fog, and the spray that fell on us was very damp. Wrote 10 pages. August 15, 1885. We rested well during the night. August 16, 1885. August 17, 1885. I slept but little last night. The fog whistle kept up its mournful warning all night. I thought of ourselves being on the broad water. A little atom. How easy for us to be swallowed up in the hungry waters. I can only look to God and trust in Him. Tonight we reach Queenstown. There is close application to writing to get letters into the mail. I wrote Edson 2 pages. Wrote 5 pages for the Sabbath school worker. Wrote 3 pages to my twin sister, Lizzie. It is a pleasant day. The fog whistle has ceased its mournful dirge. We make earnest efforts to prepare matter to be read at the camp meeting. August 18, 1885. Arrived, Liverpool. It is a beautiful day. We arose from our berths, leaving them, not to enter them again. We have spent many pleasant days and nights in our stateroom. It seems like home. I commenced to write very early to complete an article that should go to New England camp meeting. M.K. White, Sarah McKenterfer, and myself worked diligently to get off important matters. We used the calligraph with good effect. The article was completed, and I wrote 6 pages to the church at South Lancaster. August 19, 1885. We have not rested well during the night. We have had an excellent, plain, wholesome breakfast. Brother Drew accompanied us in the cab to the boat. We left the ferry for the cars. We rode in a compartment to ourselves to Grimsby. August 20th, 1885. Great Grimsby, England. We awoke in Great Grimsby, England. We have had rain during the night. The sun is shining. Wrote 2 pages to Elliot Wagner, 3 pages of important matter relating to the cause. We went to the beach. It was cold and damp and windy. Was glad to get home. August 21st, 1885. Great Grimsby. It is raining today. I have written 10 pages of history of our journey, 3 pages to California, 2 to Marion Davis, and 1 to Brother Daniels. In the evening, spoke in Temperance Hall upon the subject of temperance. The people gave the best of attention. It was raining, and yet there were about 170 out to hear. May the word spoken drop like precious seed into the good soil. August 22, 1885. Great Grimsby. I could not sleep until midnight. It remains cloudy. Rained hard during the night. Brethren and sisters assemble here this morning at 10:30. At 9 o'clock, the clouds are dispersing. 12 o'clock. Our services ended. The room for meeting was more than filled. There was a precious little company assembled. Many of them were bathed in tears as I addressed them. I had much freedom and power in presenting before them the necessity of closely following the pattern Christ Jesus. There was deep feeling manifested by those who listened to the message of truth. After meeting, I was introduced to each one of our brethren and sisters. At 3 o'clock, all were together again for Sabbath school and social meeting. The Sabbath school was an interesting exercise, and the social meeting was good. I spoke about 20 minutes. Nearly all bore testimony, well wet down with tears. The blessing of the Lord was in our midst. August 23, 1885. Great Grimsby. Sunday forenoon, we had another meeting in the mission room, which was more than full of interested listeners. I spoke from Revelation, "I know thy works," etc. Revelation 3, verse 15. All seemed deeply interested. There were several not of our faith present. In the evening, I spoke in the large hall, town hall, which was crowded full. I spoke of God in nature. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow," etc. Matthew 6, verse 28. This seemed to be a success. The Lord gave me clearness and power, and many seemed to be deeply affected. August 24, 1885. I awoke with weariness, slept but little, wrote through the day, and at 5 o'clock took the cars for Oldsby, 10 miles in the country. We stopped a short time at Brother Armstrong's. They have a large family of 9 children. This experience was rich. They have root in themselves. We found about 100 assembled in a large public building. I spoke to them. "Ye are the light of the world," etc. Matthew 5, verse 14. All seemed to be interested. After the meeting closed, several spoke with me. They were desirous of expressing to me their gratification in hearing the words spoken. One woman said she was going to keep the Sabbath. She has been convinced some time. We spent the night with the family of Brother Short. There is quite a large family, 9 children. August 25, 1885. We went from the meeting to Brother Short's. He and his wife and several of their children have embraced the truth. I did not sleep until midnight. We partook of the English style of breakfast: porridge, bread and sauce, and cake. We go back to Grimsby on the 9 o'clock train. I was too weary to do any writing. August 26, 1885. Great Grimsby. The weather continues damp and foggy. August 27, 1885. Have not had much rest or sleep. Could not sleep until after 1 o'clock. The burden of souls to whom I had spoken the night before was so heavy upon me I could not rest. I longed to see their eyes enlightened, their hearts opened to accept the truth. It is raining. My throat and lungs are pressed. We took an English breakfast, which is a plate of thin, wafer-like slices of bread, 4 eggs, a cup of hot water, and a little round cake uncut from beginning to end of the meal. I had traveled all the day before, eaten a dry, cold lunch at dinner, spoken 1 hour and a half, and had a shadow of a meal for my breakfast. Rode to the cars, 4 miles. Took the cars for London. Was sick all the way. Met W.C. White and Henry Kellogg in London. I took a restaurant dinner. The first course was fish. I told them it was spoiled. They declared it was fresh, but we saw those at the next table send away the same fish. Afterward, they told us they had examined the box and the fish was not good. This spoiled my dinner. We walked out in the great city of London, containing 5 million inhabitants. I was not well and was glad to get to my room in the hotel. The rest of our party went out in afternoon and evening. I could not go. August 28, 1885, London. It continues to be a drizzling, rainy day. We rested very well through the night. We met Elder Jones in the mission and became acquainted with him. He is a Seventh-day Baptist preacher. We had only 2 hours to spend in viewing the ancient relics and curiosities. We could not have viewed much without the guidance and information given us from Elder Jones. It would take more than 1 week to see the different interesting objects that have been collected together. We were obliged to go to our restaurant dinner. In this place, a vegetarian diet alone can be obtained. We enjoyed our dinner, then took the train for Southampton. It rained hard. When we stepped from the train, we were obliged to stand 15 minutes in the rain for a streetcar to take us to Brother Durland's. I knew I was contracting a cold. We were welcomed to the home of Brother Durland. Both he and his wife did all they could to make us comfortable. I met the church in a house nearby their place of meeting and spoke to those assembled for about 40 minutes. I felt happy to meet this little company and speak to them words of courage and faith. August 29, 1885, Southampton. I woke in the morning unrefreshed. It is still cloudy. I spoke to the church twice on the Sabbath. August 30, 1885, Southampton. I awoke suffering with severe cold. Was sick in bed most of the day. Rode out in a hack. The ride was very nice. The sun shone and warmed me. The drive took us to interesting points. We passed through the gates of the old Roman walls. These walls are 900 years old. Parts of them are firm now. They were built of stone, very thick. Towers extend above these walls for the sentinels or watchers. Homes are built on the top of these walls. Some houses are built up from the walls, the stone walls comprising a part of the building. Brick is joined to the stone. This seems to have been an effort to preserve the stone wall as far as possible, so that buildings are made with patches of brick to fill in when the stone has broken away. It looks old, yet interesting. I was nearly fainting and was glad to return to my room. I thought it impossible to speak that night. Every nerve was throbbing with pain. But I prayed to the Lord for help, and it was given me. I arose by faith. The hack took me to the place of the meeting. The hall was crowded, and I spoke to about 1,000 people. They listened with interest. The Lord blessed me, and I spoke without much difficulty. I knew my strength came from God, and His name I will glorify. August 31, 1885, London. We arose early and took the cars for London. We found quiet rooms in the hotel we visited before. I could not go out again in London to see any of the things of interest. The publishers promised to publish a report of the meeting Sunday night if we would prepare the article. Our time was fully occupied in this work. We tarried in London 2 days and 2 nights. September 1, 1885. It is cloudy, but we have a fire, which is a blessing. Our time is occupied in writing. A gentleman called, an Englishman, a vegetarian. He talks well and seems to be honest. He is an intelligent man. We had a profitable conversation. He is keeping the Sabbath. September 2, 1885. We took the cars for Basel, Switzerland. We rode 40 miles, then changed from cars to boat. The channel was rough. Many were seasick, and the wash basins were brought into use quite largely. I was not sick at all. Many were sick. We were glad, after 1.5 hours' ride, to step off the boat at Calais. Through an interpreter, we then talked with the French officials. Here we met Brother Brown, an active missionary, circulating our publications. We were glad to make his acquaintance. He brought us a basket of nice fruit, pears, grapes, and peaches, and nuts. This was a valuable addition to our lunch basket. We were able to secure a compartment to ourselves in the cars. We could get a sleeping compartment for $11 each. We thought we had better spend an uncomfortable night and save the dollars. A bed was made for me between the seats on the top of the satchels and telescope boxes. I rested some, but slept little. The rest took their chances on the seats. We were not sorry to have the night pass. The French would open the door and jabber their French, just keep our rest broken up. We could not understand them, neither could they understand us. September 3, 1885. Morning came at last. How glad we were to welcome the light. As we are entering Basel, we see old missions and castles on the top of high rocks and mountains. We query whether the reformers had not visited these places. We met Brethren Whitney, Andrews, Viumier at the depot. We rode up in a hack to the publishing house and were met at the door by Brother Augustin Bordeaux, Mother Andrews, Martha Andrews, a Sister Stein, and Annie Rasmussen, and were introduced to quite a number. We were glad to meet workers in the office. We stepped upon the elevator and were taken up to the third story. We were made at home at Brother Whitney's. We have written 12 pages to Dr. Gibbs. September 4, 1885. Basel. I have written this day 6 pages to Johnny, my adopted son. 6 pages to my nephew, Reuben Tapley. 7 pages to Marion Davis. 2 pages to Brother Lockwood. September 5, 1885. Basel. Wrote this day 12 pages to Elder Canwright. September 6, 1885. Basel. September 7, 1885. Basel. Have written 13 pages in regard to our journey. September 8, 1885. Basel. Have written 13 pages of our journey. September 9, 1885. Have written to Addie Walling 6 pages. Wrote letter of 8 pages. September 10, 1885. Basel. I have taken a fresh cold. The rooms are not warmed, and we have a strong, harsh wind. Some have come to the meeting. The meeting will commence this evening. I met Brother Bordeaux's family. Had a pleasant interview with them. I have been introduced to a number of our French brethren and sisters. I am pleased with their appearance. They dress plainly and seem to be a simple, humble people. Basel. It is cold and rough. The people are coming into the conference. This afternoon, I was surprised to see so large a number assembled. I spoke to the people, followed by German and French interpreters. September 12, 1885. Basel. It is the Holy Sabbath. It is muddy and rough today. May the Lord meet with us is my most earnest prayer. The morning meetings are good and beneficial. Brother Bordeaux spoke in French in the forenoon. I spoke in the afternoon with great clearness. Testimonies were then born, about 100. Brother Bordeaux gathered the English people together and interpreted the testimonies given in French. All expressed that they were impressed and benefited by the discourse given. Certainly, this people seemed to be in earnest to be helped, willing to receive my testimony. September 13, 1885. Basel. This is a clear, sunshiny morning. I feel grateful to our Heavenly Father for the assurance of His love and His grace to help me today. I spoke about 1/2 hour upon missionary work. While our brethren were giving their reports in French, Elder Bordeaux reported to us in English, so we could get a general understanding of what was being done. I spoke in the afternoon. Elder Bordeaux was my interpreter in French. Elder Erzenberger interpreted in German, and Elder Oyen in Scandinavian. All three arranged in that manner that they could report at the same time and without disturbing me or one another. The Lord helped me to bear a plain, decided testimony to the people. Then I called for those who wish to be Christians and those who have not an evidence of their connection with God to come forward, and we had a most solemn season. Many wept all the time. We offered up our petitions to heaven for the Spirit of the Lord to work, and He did breathe upon us His Holy Spirit. About 100 testimonies were born with deep feeling. September 14, 1885. We have a beautiful, mild morning. The conference business is to be attended to today. I spoke to those assembled at 1:30 p.m. upon the necessity of cultivating love and Christian courtesy, of being forbearing with one another. Two interpreters in German and French followed me, and two reported in Norwegian and English. After the discourse, there was a baptism of 15. This was an interesting scene. In the evening, the publishing work was considered with good results. In the evening, brethren from Norway arrived. Brethren Madison and Brorson and Oyen and wife and a shorthand reporter came Friday. The Swiss conference has ended, and now comes the conference of the delegates, Elder Andrews from Ireland, Brother John from Wales, 6 from Norway, Elder Lane and 3 others from England, delegates from France and from Denmark. Wrote 7 pages. September 15, 1885, Basel. It is a beautiful morning. Rose at 5 and commenced writing. Have written 4 pages before breakfast. Brethren Lane, John, and Wilcox have come, and Sister Lane and Sister Jenny Thayer. Wrote 8 pages to Elder Butler, 2 pages to Sister Lockwood, 2 pages to May Walling. We rode out for the first time since coming to Basel. We entered Germany. We crossed the Rhine. The bridge across the Rhine was built upon strongly made boats. The Rhine is a swift-running stream. We saw milk cows harnessed up as horses to plow and to draw loads of vegetables and fruits in their wagons. We saw women wheeling heavy wheelbarrows and drawing hand wagons. We passed by the Hotel of the Three Kings. There are 3 large, life-size statues. This is the most noted hotel in Basel. The kings and nobles stop at this hotel. Wrote 12 pages. September 16, 1885, Basel. I awoke with a sense of my unworthiness and the inexpressible goodness of God. I attended the morning meeting in the chapel. The Lord seemed to indict prayer, and His Spirit was in the meeting. Brother Daniel Bordeaux interpreted the testimonies in English for the benefit of the French, and the testimonies of French into the English language. Good testimonies were born. The hearts of the brethren seemed softened and subdued by the love of Jesus. I sought to call their attention to the necessity of cultivating love and tenderness for one another. September 17, 1885, Basel. It is a beautiful morning. It is restful to look at the cultivated lands and beautiful green fields and groves of trees. And just beyond this beautiful picture are the higher mountains. We recognize God in His created works. We bow to His authority and love to do His will. At 5:30, we went into the morning meeting. The prayers were mostly in French. Brother Lowe spoke, and several testimonies were born. I made some remarks in regard to the dress question. Many feel it a special burden to make a drive. Sent off today 32 pages to America. Wrote today 15 pages for French and American papers. September 18, 1885, Basel. Arose at 5:00 to prepare for morning meeting at 5:30. Quite a large number were assembled, Germans, French, Italians, and English. The sweet spirit of Jesus seemed to be in our midst. Several prayed in French, and several in English. My heart was drawn out in earnest supplication for heavenly wisdom to be given us at this time of our council. I felt the assurance that the Lord did hear and answer prayer. Nearly all of our ministering brethren bore a good testimony. They seem to have the blessing of God and are drawing near each other. Several testimonies were given in French. Brother Bordeaux interpreted for our English brethren and interpreted English testimonies to the French. I spoke for about 15 or 20 minutes upon James 3, verse 13 to 18. The Lord gave me much freedom in speaking. Dr. Vincenzo Guerini, a most promising, affable Italian, filled a tooth for me, from which the filling had come out. He is considered a superior workman in Naples, Italy. He is full in the faith. He filled 300 cavities at the last conference for our people, for which he would receive nothing. Have spoken 18 times. Sent 6 pages to Sister Scott at Oakland, California. September 19, 1885, Basel. I have had a broken night's rest. My head aches. At 6:30, had a consultation with the brethren Bordeaux, their wives, and Brother Whitney and his wife. We were talking in regard to the best way to help the Italian brethren. We received some light by talking over the matter together. Brother Bordeaux spoke in the morning. There was Sabbath school before the discourse. I felt great weakness before going into the desk. I pled most earnestly with Jesus to help me and help the people, to bless them in a special manner. I spoke from Colossians 1:25-29. The Lord blessed me in speaking and the people in hearing. The power of God rested upon me and upon the people. I was enabled to speak without embarrassment while two interpreters followed me in French and German, and Brother Oyen gave it in Danish to his reporter. We had a most precious social meeting. The testimonies gave evidence the word was received, and the Lord set it home in quickening power upon the people. The angels of God seemed to be in our midst, and the sweet spirit of Jesus pervaded the meeting. All the testimonies were interpreted. We believe this meeting will have a telling influence. Another Sabbath is in the past. Bible class is now in session. Have written 4 pages. September 20th, 1885. Basel. I rested but little during the night and felt debilitated this morning. There seems to be but little vitality in the atmosphere. Prepared an article for the paper. I had an interview with Brother John and with Brother Whitney. Had conversation with Sister Whitney upon important matters. The condition of Edith Andrews is a grief to us all. She seems to be failing in health. What shall be done in her case? Attended the morning session of the council a short time. Was called out to speak in reference to tent meetings and open-air meetings. I could not recommend the open-air meetings for several reasons. One weighty argument is, it will be too great a tax upon the vital organs and disqualify the speaker to control his voice in small congregations. It will accustom him to disorderly meetings. He will not see the sense of order and maintain order. He will not be able to prove his own work and know what he does do. He will not see the force of becoming a close Bible student and applying himself more and more to bring forth from the storehouse of God things new and old, that new subjects shall engage his attention. Tents are preferable to open-air meetings. September 21, 1885. Basel. I do not feel as debilitated as yesterday. Attended morning meetings. There was quite a good congregation in attendance. Had two seasons of prayer in French and English. Many testimonies were born. All good. Brother Malcolm Mallon bore an excellent testimony. He is an Italian. His wife was educated in Holland and speaks three languages. She is a woman of uncommon ability. I spoke upon faith and the importance of our workers in the cause of God exercising faith, and upon the manner of the minister's labor, that they shall go two and two. This was Christ's plan, and is not carried out as it should be by his representatives. September 22, 1885. Basel. Attended early morning meeting. Many prayers were offered, both in French and English. Many excellent testimonies were born, expressing appreciation of the meeting. The Lord blessed me in speaking on faith. The testimonies born were of a character to show that the hearers appreciated the light given and were determined to walk in the light while they had the light. It was decided by the council to continue the meetings just 1 week longer. All needed a fitting up before engaging in the solemn work of trying to present the truth to others. We thought that now, as we are together, we should seek for special grace to do a special work. September 23, 1885. Basel. I attended the morning meeting and spoke to those assembled upon faith from James 1, 3rd verse onward. Many testimonies were born in response to the testimony born to them. Elders Bordeaux and their companions, Elder Whitney and wife, and Brother Kellogg met to consider important moves which it seemed necessary to make for the more decided advancement of the cause. It was considered advisable that as soon as it could be well brought about, Bordeaux should go to Torre Pellice in Italy to labor, to hold what the truth has already gained, and to gain still others to the truth. Brother and Sister Mallon live in this place. Brother Mallon is a publisher, has a printing office. It was advised that Charles Andrews go to America, that Mother Andrews go, if it is her choice, that Edith go with her mother to Italy for the benefit of her health. Daniel then presented his plans that France and Italy be not encouraged to unite with Switzerland, but become a separate conference and use their means among themselves to build up their own conference. This I earnestly opposed, for the influence would be bad. It would not lead to union and harmony in the work, but to separate interest, and they would not labor for that oneness that the Lord demands. Daniel exhibited self to a large degree. I left the room, for I will not give sanction to any such spirit. I attended the council, spoke twice in the meeting. In the afternoon, had a long, plain, pointed talk with Edith Andrews. She seemed to have some sense of her condition. We prayed together. I feel deep pity for this child. September 24, 1885. Basel.
Attended early morning meeting. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7, verse 37. I had the burden to speak of the different nationalities and the necessity of union and harmonizing in their efforts. That Italians, Germans, French, Swedes, and every tribe and nation have not six paths, but only one model to copy, and this one mold to receive, Jesus Christ, the perfect example. Elder Bordeaux vindicated himself, and his remarks were all uncalled for. It is so hard for some minds to be emptied of self. Self is mixed and mingled with all they do and all they say.